Me then, the God of patience and of comfort, grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I'm sure that you have noticed, as I have, how badly our country is divided. And this has become very evident with the latest elections. And I'm reminded of what our Lord said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And our Lord said that. We read it in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, in which our Lord was accused of casting out devils by the power of the devil. That is an utter absurdity. The devil doesn't cast himself out. And that just goes to show how insanely angry our Lord's enemies were towards him, that they were going to use nonsense to try to attack him. And our Lord says, how can Satan be against himself? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And our Lord is, of course, referring to the kingdom of the devil. As bad as that is, it is united in its purpose of being anti-God and against souls. It wants to drag as many souls down to perdition, down to hell as possible. So it has that unity of purpose, you might say. It's interesting that Abraham Lincoln referenced this very passage of our Lord in his famous speech regarding slavery. This was towards the beginning, or maybe even before the Civil War began. And he said, we have to come to an agreement on this because a divided house cannot stand. And we know what happened. The Civil War resulted. It wasn't, of course, just over slavery. It was also over the issue of states' rights. But fortunately, slavery was done away with. That was one of the, obviously, the very much to be desired outcome of the Civil War, that slavery would be done over with. No man can own another man. But as I bring this up, because I want to tell you about something that does unite everybody, that has no division in it. And that is the Catholic Church. As I said, our country is going through its turmoil and thralls because it is very polarized. And if I may also digress for a minute and just say something about that, in a sense, that's a good thing. In a very real sense, that's a good thing because we see enough conservative-minded people, people with traditional values, and by this I'm obviously talking not only about Catholics, but about many others that are concerned, so deeply concerned about the way this country has been going, politically and socially and morally. And there's enough of a strong purpose there that the election showed it. I think that in many other countries, there is not a strong conservative, traditional-minded values movement, and therefore they unite, but on the bad side, so to speak. So in a way, I thank God for that, but it's still, like as I said, it's the division. It's so evident how many prayers our country needs so that it can survive. A house divided cannot stand. Our Lord, again, and then one of our presidents referencing that. But what I want to focus on today is there is something that does unite, and it is the Catholic Church. Truly a mark of its divine nature, or divine, I should say, divine institution and divine, divinely being held up, because no other organization can do this, can reach across all races, all cultures, all likes and dislikes, and bring people together. And why shouldn't they come together? Because God himself came down from heaven and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today's epistle and gospel are all about the prophecies and the miracles. The prophecies and the epistle are mentioned by St. Paul, how Christ was going to unite not just the Jews that converted, but imagine this, he was even going to unite the Jews with the Gentiles. And we know how much antipathy there was between them. That's a miracle. That's why St. Augustine says, even if there had been no miracles in the history of the church, the very fact that this organization could last as long as it's had in the face of the worst persecutions, mind you, without falling apart, he said, that's a miracle. The Catholic Church is a miracle. That's the power that it has, or that it is shown by people saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I don't just pick and choose what I want to believe. It's the whole package or nothing. And part of that package is you have to accept the church that he founded. Not some man-made or man-founded religion. The religion founded by Jesus Christ, and there's only one of them. It is the Catholic Church. I was reading a commentary from Father Goffin's explanations of the epistles and gospels, and I'd like to just read what he says here about this. The Jews and Gentiles who had been converted to the Christian faith were disputing among themselves at Rome in regard to abstinence. By the way, this is the epistle to the Romans. So you had Jews that had converted to Christianity and Gentiles that had converted to Christianity, and there was squabbling going on. And the reason the disputes were because the Jews felt that the Gentiles should not only be following Christ, but should also be following the Jewish laws and practices. And that was resolved, by the way, at the Council of Jerusalem, where they were told, after the apostles met, and even themselves, they had to come to this unanimity, and they achieved it. No, you do not have to follow the law of Moses anymore. It's finished. Christ has fulfilled it. Just follow the laws of Christ and the laws of the church. So going back to Father Goffin. So the Jews and Gentiles were disputing at Rome in regard to abstinence and the use of certain kinds of food, reproaching each other severely. The Jews boasted that the Savior, according to promise, was born of their nation, thus claiming him from the Gentiles, who in their turn, it's kind of funny, the Jews are saying, you know, he was one of us, not one of you. And you know what the Gentiles said in return? Well, you crucified him. So human, isn't it, to argue and fight? So that's what Father Goffin was saying. To restore harmony, St. Paul shows that each had reason, the Jews and Gentiles alike, to praise God, to whose grace and goodness they owed all, that each had in him a Redeemer in whom they could hope for salvation, and he warns them not to deprive themselves of that hope by contentions. By these words, the apostle also teaches that we too have great reason to praise God and to thank him for calling us, whose forefathers were heathens, to the Christian faith, that means the Catholic faith, and to guard against losing our salvation by pride, envy, impurity, and so forth. And these prophecies that St. Paul references in Romans are about the Gentiles. And he's telling the Jews who had become Christians, he said, remember, this was going to happen. It's in prophecy. It's in Isaiah's about the kings of the Arabians shall come and offer gifts. All they from Saba shall come. And then just a couple of these that are in the epistle. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And then St. Paul in the next sentence references a prophecy that talks about both the Jews and Gentiles. There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule. So he's saying to the Jews, see, he's coming from you. He came from you. And the second part of that sentence, in him the Gentiles shall hope. So he's then saying to the non-Jews, see, he came for you. So this is the beauty of our Catholic faith, that it can unite and does unite true believers. But why is it that so few really follow and belong to the Catholic Church? Because of the works of darkness, the devil working against God, people's own fallen nature, the world. And we see so many in the Vatican II Church have lost their faith. It's become more of a matter of picking and choosing what they want to believe. And then it's just getting to be just one heresy after another. I mean, it's stunning to see how blithely Bergoglio, Pope Francis, utters heresy, and the one that really just really upsets me, as I'm sure it does you, is one of his latest heresies. He goes on and on about the sin of proselytism. He said that to try to convert somebody to the Catholic faith is a sin. You know, you'd even have to say that's a blasphemy, because what did our Lord do? He said, go and teach all nations. So by implication, he's saying they were sinning by going out and preaching the gospel. If you can believe that. But we know that the true Catholic faith will survive till the end of time. And again, it's those who say, I believe everything Jesus teaches me through his holy church. He cannot fail me. The church, the true church, cannot lead us astray. We never have to say, well, I can accept this teaching, but not that teaching. No. It's what unites us. You know, in this quote that I gave you at the beginning of the sermon, St. Paul uses the word one three times in one sentence. One mind towards another, one spirit, and one mouth. So you see what St. Paul is emphasizing, that beautiful unity of the Catholic faith. I mean, let's just look among ourselves. We are people of different backgrounds, different likes and dislikes. And yet, what brings us together? The Catholic faith. And we can still have our opinions in matters that are not of the church's teaching. Once the church teaches us, we all accept it. Now, it takes humility. Sometimes we don't quite understand why the church teaches such and such. We may struggle with even what's something that our Lord taught, but it doesn't matter. We put it aside. We say, I believe. What a beautiful thing. I mean, this is a miracle. And we have it. We get to be part of it. I'll leave you with this quote from St. Augustine, who said, In matters of certainty, unity. Let me give you the Latin first. In certis unitas. In dubiis libertas. In omnibus caritas. It works very well poetically in Latin, but not quite so well as we translate it. But what St. Paul, what St. Augustine is saying is matters that are certain. In other words, once the church has taught it, that's it. No more discussing, rejecting, questioning, unity. In certis unitas, in dubiis libertas, in other words, in things that are doubtful, things that the church has not settled, or things that don't matter in matters of faith and morals, like one person will like the color blue better than another one liking the color green. That's fine. These are many examples of things we can differ on. They're not matters of faith and morals. So in dubiis libertas, liberty of opinion if the church hasn't settled it, and in all things charity. This is the time of giving and charity and reflecting especially on the love of God who's going to be born on Christmas Day as we in the liturgical celebration. And he came for love. Love for the Jews, love for the Gentiles. May the Jews and Gentiles love him through humble submission to him who became so small so that we could become great and become holy and be with him in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.